Hey, spooky patrons.
What up, what up?
We love to bring you spooky extra content.
Spooky extra time. Extra spooky time.
Exactly. We had you guys vote on what you wanted to hear in a bonus episode this month, this fine month of December 2022.
The bestest month, in my opinion.
How dare you? October is the bestest month.
But my birthday's in December, so.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. I'll give you
and
that
I'm
one.
And I'm extra selfish.
So you guys decided that the haunted location you wanted to hear about is haunted prisons or jails, whichever. Mm-hmm. And so I've chosen a haunted prison and Kat has chosen a haunted prison.
I did.
We are going to tell you about them right now.
So this prison or jail, this one's actually a jail. Mm-hmm. This is right up the road from my house.
You need to go ghost hunting there.
I know. So they actually had a overnight dinner and investigation in April of this year. I didn't get to go because our daughter was coming to visit for spring break before officially moving in. And we had to pick her up the next morning at the airport. Mm. And so it was like, oh, do I do it overnight and then like sleep in the car and be super tired and freaked out? Or so I'm keeping an eye on the news and stuff, though. And whenever they do another investigation, I will probably rope my husband into going with me so I'm not alone.
Nice. I like it.
This is the Pauley Jail, P-A-U-L-E-Y, and that is named after the company that was contracted to build the jail.
Okay. And
the Pauley Jail was built in 1897 to replace the old jail, which was originally built in 1868. The only wooden materials in the jail are in the windows and the attic vent. Everything else is either brick or concrete. The jail was built at a cost of $7,250 back in 1897. And so today, that would be roughly $244,147. It's a three-story jail. Cement coats the foundation and the lowest courses of brick. Rusticated stone lintels are, lintels are located over the doors and windows. The castle-like facade features small projecting square brick turrets with witches' hats, which are spiked metal caps at the corners. And if you guys look up pictures of this jail, you'll know what those witches' hats are looking like.
That's cool. How come all these really old prisons and jails look so gothic? Like they're very castle-y and just creepy as crap.
The building has a metal-hipped roof. The entrance is a single door on the ground level. On the second floor is the bullpen, containing a metal table and benches that served as the eating quarters. And for those of you that don't know jail terminology, the bullpen is basically where people would have their recreational time. They'd be able to walk around and interact with each other when they weren't in their respective cells. Mm-hmm. To the right of the tables is the commode and an open shower for bathing. And on the third level is a trap door set in the floor. The door, which could be opened by pushing a lever, was used for hanging condemned prisoners in the early 1900s.
Ew.
Yeah. Oh, so no. That's kind of one of the more drawing features of this jail, is that they would actually hang prisoners in the jail as opposed to taking them out to a gallows.
Yeah, I've always heard of them doing it outside. That's creepy, man.
Yes, very, very creepy. Of course, this is set in Alabama. As you guys know, that's where I live. So there is a lot of racial background that goes along with this jail, so just be aware of that if you're going to go look it up, or if you want to come do a tour or anything like that. A lot of times the stories lead, there's tons and tons of stories about different prisoners and stuff that were there. And a lot of stories lead to prisoners having been executed that were falsely charged with something and never proven, taking the blame for someone else's crime, and they were usually of African American descent. Mm-hmm. So, wow. Again, 1800s, 1900s, Southern. Yeah. You guys kind of get the picture there. So a lot of people think that turmoil and stuff is what leads to activity within the jail.
Yeah, a lot of tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It is one of Alabama's oldest still standing jails. So a lot of other ones have gone into disrepair, crumbled, have just disintegrated over time, but this one still standing. And in 2004, an independent film company, Strata Production, filmed part of Heaven's Fall at the Pauley Jail. The movie is based on the historic Scottsboro Boys case, in which 9 black youths were falsely accused of accosting 2 white women. The case led to the end of white-only juries. So that's a fun piece of history there. This jail was actually part of a movie set as well, and that movie set, there's still pieces of it that they left in the jail as part of history.
Very cool.
Yeah, so you can see there's been numerous investigations at this jail as well. Season 3, episode 6 of the Tennessee Wraith Chasers is the episode that they investigated the Pauley Jail.
Wraith Chasers?
Wrath? Yes. No, Wraith.
Wraith. That's weird.
Yep.
Okay.
Several liquor stills are on display at the museum, along with other artifacts, relics, photos, and newspaper articles that pertain to illegal distilling, obviously, moonshine period and prohibition and such. Now, a little bit more on the layout of the jail. So like I said, it consists of 3 stories. There's jailers and deputies quarters. There's a woman's wing and an interrogation room all on the bottom floor. Like I said, the second floor is for gen pop cells. They're tight quarters. And then the separate recreation area known as the bullpen. The third floor cells are surrounded by 20-foot catwalks where jailers would keep a close watch over inmates, and a separate cell for the insane or suicidal. And like I said, the biggest draw of this was the trap door for hanging on the third floor. So when the sliding sound of a heavy switch and clanking metal doors erupted within the jail, it meant only one thing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, someone met her fate.
You're telling me that all the other inmates could hear someone getting hung. That is messed up. That'll mess with your head.
And I do have a couple stories, not stories, but information on a couple of the inmates. So one of Pauley Jail's first criminal visitors was Willie Upshaw. He was arrested and sent to jail the same year it opened, so that would have been back in 1897. He managed to escape the beast of concrete and steel, but was later killed. The man who killed Willie, whose name is presently unknown, was arrested for murder and also sent to the Pauley Jail for an undisclosed amount of time. In his confinement, he hung himself in his cell upstairs. His spirit is responsible for the heavy swinging sound heard in the jail. On occasion, an eyewitness account surfaces from those who have seen his ghastly apparition, wandering about the third floor with a noose around his neck.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine seeing that?
Right? Just walking around. Mm-mm. On Christmas Eve, 1960, J.W. Mann was arrested for disorderly conduct and taken to the Poly jail. He was smoking in his cell and apparently fell asleep and set his mattress on fire.
Ooh.
Before the jailer could be found to open the cell, flames completely engulfed JW's cell and smoke was bellowing out of the second floor window. By the time they reached Mr. Mann, he was already dead. The spirit of J.W. Mann has spent more than a few Christmases haunting the Old City Jail. The Poly Jail has been a hotbed of ghostly inhabitants and paranormal activity for the past decade. Its history tells the story of how the spirits came to be. Recently, a video was recorded at the jail of a ghost box session during an investigation by the Alabama Paranormal Research Team. And in the video, voices came over the radio saying Poly and Moonshine. According to the investigators, most spirits in the jail are still undocumented. So the most common things that are attributed to the jail being haunted is disembodied voices, strange sounds, such as that trapdoor opening and squeaking, along with multiple apparitions.
Wow. There's just something extra creepy to me about hearing noises that you know what they're from, but then I bet you when they hear that noise, the trapdoor doesn't actually move. I bet you it's not like it opens or anything. It's just that sound. Mm-hmm. That sound echoes.
Yeah. Ooh. And I mean, there are just tons and tons of stories and investigations that are done at this jail. The overnight dinner that they did, it's a dinner plus an investigation that was done by the Webb Paranormal Group, Webb with two B's. Mm-hmm. They actually had equipment for everyone to use.
That's so and you cool.
You could work alongside experienced investigators. And then they also explored the Confederate cemetery that is behind one of the old churches as well. So they did the jail and the cemetery.
Nice. Now it's behind the church, but it's not part of the church lawn. So it's a cemetery.
Yeah, it's not a church anymore.
Okay. So it was a graveyard, but now it's a cemetery.
Yes. Now it's our local, that church is now our local community theater.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's cool. I bet it's haunted.
Oh, yeah. That graveyard is extra haunted. The theater is extra haunted, too. They actually found when they were building the church, they found a grave for a Confederate soldier. But apparently it was in too much disrepair to be able to be moved. So they left it. There.
Oh no. That's how so many scary movies start. You don't leave it there.
Mm-hmm. Oh no. So that church, which again is now a community theater, is just sitting on top of a grave. Mm.
So dramatic. Sorry. Very cool. Very cool. This sounds like a really good place to ghost hunt.
I'm excited. I definitely want to go at some point, but I think I do want to go with a group of more experienced investigators instead of just calling and setting up my own tour kind of thing.
Chicken.
Like I'd want to do an overnight and learn how to use the different equipment and stuff like that.
Mm. Well, the place that I chose to talk about is Missouri State Penitentiary. Okay, first off, let's just start with a nickname. This will tell you all you need to know. The nickname All right. for this Missouri State Penitentiary is the Bloodiest 47 Acres.
Alrighty.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. And the locals in that town and the people that were in the prison, they had a nickname for it also, and they just called it the Walls. Because it's just massive stone walls around the thing, and all the buildings are stone and brick, and they're very concrete and all that stuff. Very strongly made. Huge, mm-hmm. sprawling area, obviously, because it's called the Bloodiest 47 Acres. That's a lot of land. It opened in 1836. So that means they were building it like in the 20s and the 1820s, 1830s. It actually opened in 1836, and it closed, meaning it stopped having inmates in it, in September of 2004.
But clearly, not everyone left.
This thing was pretty recently open still for mm-hmm. inmates and stuff. And it was known to be wickedly haunted. People didn't want to be sent there because it was just that crazy haunted. So it's had 40 executions. 39 of them were in a gas chamber. It has its own gas chamber. And then one of the executions was by lethal injection. But this gas chamber, it is inmate built. So at some point they made the inmates build a gas chamber for themselves. Mm-hmm. And it has two chairs in it, this gas chamber. And get this, the chairs are like these metal chairs with holes all in them. And the thing that they have that makes the gas is underneath the chair. It's like in this metal box that's got all these holes in it. So it's mesh. And they have a lever that they pull to drop a tablet into the bucket to make the gas, I think it's like cyanide gas or something. So that
or
tablet,
it's sarin gas.
Yeah, that tablet falls in when they pull that lever, and that's what makes the gas that kills the person. So the gas comes up from underneath the chair that they're bolted to, and it can do two people at a time. So, you know, efficient. And yeah, and then they have another big lever that they pull to vent out the gas when the deed is done. So,
well, they did gassing before lethal injection, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this prison did not do hangings and stuff. They stuck with gas. They use gas and then they have one lethal injection. Many deaths, though, not just those 40. The total that I heard when I was researching it is somewhere around 2,000 documented deaths in this prison over the time span from 1836 to 2004. And some of them were just from beatings and torture, because early on, they didn't just like whip you with a whip. They used cat of nine tails and they attached either glass or metal to the ends of each of the tails, you know, mm-hmm. and they beat them with that until their backs were raw, like brutal. They did that. They also did waterboarding there. Waterboarding? Come on, man. And they were known for their solitary confinement. So they had a basement area that was their solitary confinement, but it was actually called the dungeon cells. They called their solitary confinement the dungeon cells.
See, I think that can be some of the most brutal type of torture is mm-hmm. solitary confinement.
People were known to be stuck in those solitary confinement dungeons for years, but the person who was documented for being there the longest stretch was there for 17 years.
Good Lord.
And they had no windows. They were all concrete. They said that people would come out of there blind because they were in the dark for so long.
Mm. That's crazy.
I can't imagine how one could exist that way. Also, in those dungeon cells, it is documented that inmates would kill themselves because they were so tortured in those dark dungeon cells. But guess how they did it? They had no access to rope or anything like that. They were completely stripped of anything. Some of them didn't even have toilets in them. They just, you know, had a bucket or something. They would run at the concrete walls head first until they couldn't anymore. That's how they'd kill themselves.
Good Lord.
This place is so haunted, it's not even funny. The gas chamber, actually, they executed a woman in there, her and her boyfriend, at the same time even. I told you they had two chairs, right? Mm-hmm. So this couple, boyfriend, girlfriend, the lady's name was Bonnie Hetty, and the boyfriend's name was Carl Hall.
I was just saying, if you say Clyde, you need to double check your information.
Yeah. These two kidnapped a 6-year-old boy who was the son of a millionaire, multimillionaire in town, a car dealership owner and all that. Well, they kidnapped his 6-year-old son and wrote him a ransom note asking for $600,000, which back then was a lot. And he paid it. He paid it in cash, but they had already killed his son. Turns out they killed that 6-year-old boy just an hour after they kidnapped him.
Oh.
Then they wrote the note and got the cash and all that. So yeah, they went to this prison and they were executed together. And it's said that the gas chamber to this day is haunted by Bonnie's spirit. But get this, they say they hear a woman whispering lovely things to people that go in there, but they think it's because she's looking for her boyfriend. Isn't that weird?
Okay. Do they hear the whisperings from an investigation?
I assume it just said visitors. Like, okay. Because they give tours. This place is a big paranormal attraction. So they give all kinds of tours and stuff.
I was going to say, because if someone else is in there, you know, an account before a gassing heard these whispers.
Oh, yeah.
How'd you get the information afterwards?
Yeah, well, that's a valid point. But no, that, like people touring it or whatever. Let's talk about some famous inmates that this prison has had. So we have James Earl Ray, which is a name that some people will recognize. He was convicted of holding up a grocery store, and he was sentenced to 20 years and sent to this prison. So he ended up escaping. Well, he tried to escape several times. He was big on escape attempts. But then he finally managed to do it, and he did it by hiding in a giant bread box. So they would ship bread out, and he had kitchen duty, and he hid in a bread box, and he got out that way. Do you know, less than a year later, he assassinated Martin Luther King Jr.?
I was going to say, that name sounds very familiar.
That's where you know the name, James Earl Ray. He was in this penitentiary. He escaped less than a year later. He assassinated Martin Luther King Jr. And apparently when he did it, he thought he would be seen as a hero. But instead, he was hated and hunted down. And they did eventually catch him. And, you know, he was sentenced to 99 years after that. But he didn't go back to this prison. He went to one in Tennessee, where he attempted to escape several more times, but was never successful again.
Alrighty.
So there's that one. Another one is, and I know you'll know this name, Charles Arthur Pretty Boy Floyd.
Yeah.
Yes. So he was in this penitentiary. He was convicted of robbery. He stole $12,000 from payroll. And he was released from this penitentiary in 1929. He started robbing banks. He was in this big murderous group, like a band of bad guys, murdered lots of people. He ended up getting shot dead while he was on the run. They finally cornered him and they shot him. So he didn't end up going back to prison. But yeah, he was in this prison for a while.
Wasn't he in the same gang as Babyface?
I don't know, actually. Probably. I don't know. It just said he was in a band of bank robbers and murderers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one is Charles Sonny Liston. So he was convicted of robbery with a deadly weapon. He learned how to box in this prison, and he was released in 1952, and he was the national heavyweight champion winner in Chicago in 1953. So just a year later, he was a boxing heavyweight champion.
Well, you gotta find somewhere to put all that aggression.
Yeah. So he learned it in this penitentiary. And then the last one that I thought was noteworthy, his nickname was Firebug because he loved to start fires. So Firebug Johnson, and he is the guy who they kept in solitary confinement for 17 years. And he got put there because he started a fire in this prison that killed 5 inmates. So they moved him to the solitary where they kept him for the rest of the time, 17 years.
Jeez.
So here's some hauntings that are reported there. Quite the list. So shadow figures of all varying types, sizes, shapes, walking around, crawling. People see these shadow figures crawling on the floor.
Ew.
Just hard pass. Full apparitions of female prisoners that walk into cells, voices, EVPs, and they have one that was caught by a paranormal group that said, "Somebody cut me apart." That's creepy and gross and weird. People get their hair tugged, their ankles grabbed. Can you imagine touring a cell in a haunted prison, walking past a bed and getting your ankle grabbed?
No.
And nothing's underneath it?
Hard pass.
Oh my good night. There's a figure with half a face who will stand either behind or beside people, and it's said to transfer its distress to them. So people will have this half-face figure beside them, and they'll feel all of this pain and distress until they flee.
That's a strong energy right there if it can transfer onto someone else.
Yeah. There's a spirit that whispers to you, but in familiar voices to you. So this spirit will whisper to you with your mom's voice or your sibling's voice or aunt or, you know, whatever.
Well, that, I will tell you right now that I'm going to be extra terrified if I hear my mother's voice in a jail. So.
Same. There's an 8-foot shadow figure that will turn into a full apparition, open its mouth, and silently scream at you until you leave.
Jeez.
I can't with these. That's straight from a horror movie. I'm sorry.
I'm thinking we don't go visit this one.
Yeah. And this one has all these different tours, right? Well, when I went to their website, which of course I will link all these things. When I went to their website, their home screen says, "Choose your fate." And then you can choose whether you want a paranormal tour, a history tour, or whatever. Like they have all these different types. Oh my gosh. Choose your fate. No, thank you. Missouri State Penitentiary, wicked haunted.
No kidding.
If anybody does happen to go there and do some paranormal investigating, you had better email us and tell us about it.
If you survive.
Right? I know, right? They said, just in case you do go, they said Building 3 and Building 4 are the most haunted. Every square inch of the place is haunted, but those two buildings were where like the dungeon cells were and the solitary and all that. So they said those are the really bad buildings.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. So you guys wanted to know about haunted prisons.
Mine's calm compared to that. Mine's just a little stroll in the park. Oh, look at the history of the old buildings where they did stuff. Yours is like, you will perish.
Well, you know how I be. Death and doom. That's kind of my thing.
Definitely.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be bringing you the next one shortly, and it is about haunted houses. We're doing one haunted house in every state of the United States. And just like we did with the other thing about legends, only this time it'll be 5 haunted houses each episode. So that's what the other one's going to be. And as always, we will eventually poll you again to find out what spooky bonus episode you want for January. So stay tuned. And until then, we'll spook you later.
Bye.